This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's your producer, and Terry Savage is your friend. She joins us Wednesdays at this time. Hi, Terry.
Hello, John. Lots going on today.
Yeah, we'll visit with a representative from the IRS in a few minutes, but first you want to talk about what?
Well, this consumer price number. It's shocking how calm the markets are. They had expected it. Year over year, 7%. It was a minute and a half ago that, number one, the Fed chair said inflation is transitory. It was 2.5 minutes ago, or maybe a year ago anyway, that they were saying, we're worried about inflation being too low. We want it to get to 2%. We'll tolerate it a little over 2% because we've had so many months under 2%. And wow, it's just like a conflagration now, inflation. Of course, if you don't use food and energy, it's only 5.5%. Come on. You know what's really bad about this, John?
No.
Buried in this report is a number called real wages. That means adjusted for inflation. And real wages are down 2.5%. So even you hear these headlines about increasing minimum wage and so forth. The average real wage, people are losing out. Forget, you know, not only wages. Look about savers. You got your chicken money. It's in the bank yielding 0.5%. And inflation is 7%. But wait, where are you going to go? Because as we saw the first week in January, the stock market could be down 5% in a minute. It's bounced back. So, and retirees, people on fixed income, low-income people, the cost of food soaring. I want to tell you a story. Can I tell you the story about a woman who called me?
Okay.
I didn't know this, but seniors, many of them who are very low income, get SNAP, nutrition assistance from the state of Illinois. It used to be called food stamps, and it's supplemental nutrition assistance. They get money. Her Social Security, remember we got all excited about the increase in Social Security checks to offset inflation?
Mm-hmm.
Her Social Security check increase put her $30 above the food stamp or SNAP level. So she used to get $136 a month plus $30 for COVID during the COVID time. And now she's only going to get $20 a month. So she's going to call me and tell me what her increase in Social Security was. Nowhere near the over $110 that she's losing out on benefits, because things like that program is not indexed for inflation.
Do you think if I opened up the phones and said, tell me what you've noticed is costing a lot more other than your heating bill, I would get a lot of calls?
Oh, sure. Anybody who tried to buy a car, that's been a key component, believe it or not, because of the shortage of new cars, because of the supply chain disruptions.
Yeah.
And that's why they're saying, oh, well, this will be temporary. We'll get out of it. But in the meantime, it bites. It really does. It's food. It's if you have a medical bill, if you need to get a new car, fill up your tank. All of this is making a real dent.
But clothes, I haven't shopped for clothes lately, but it seems to me like, you're right, energy, automobiles, you can avoid buying an automobile. You can try and fight your thermostat, but I'm wondering about those other staples of life, if people have felt the pinch there too or not.
First of all, wages aren't keeping up with it, and so many people are still not working for various reasons.
Yeah.
So basically, we have a dislocation. But I'm looking at the stock market. Let me just look right now. We're up about 100 points. We were up 200 points and then even. There's a thing called TINA. TINA. If you haven't heard that word, it's all over the Wall Street. It's T-I-N-A. There is no alternative. TINA.
Yeah. Meaning there's no alternative to
stocks.
To stocks, yeah.
Exactly. Because, well, over the long run, stocks historically, over the long run, have outperformed inflation. But more important than that, there's not another place to put your money. And yet I still counsel not to get trapped into, oh my gosh, I got to put in the stock market because I'm losing money. We should start to see interest rates rise on their own. Maybe inflation will fall. I don't see that happening quickly.
We'll talk to, so our next guest is going to be Eric Smith. He's a spokesperson for the IRS. You've arranged for him to join us. We need to ask him, why are some people still waiting? Not everybody has had to have their case reviewed. Why is it that we are now in 2022 and some folks still haven't gotten their return from last year? So we'll pick it up here with Terry Savage and IRS spokesperson Eric Smith. Maybe you've got a question about that, too. It's Wednesday. Terry Savage at terrysavage.com. The financial expert's on the line, as is our next guest, Terry.
Well, Eric Smith, I lured you here under false pretenses. Let me introduce you better. Eric Smith is my guy at the IRS. He is always there for me. When I have complicated questions, I email him even over the weekend and say, I don't quite understand how to answer this. What would you say? Eric knows everything about the IRS. And he was nice. He's been on with us before. Yeah. He was nice enough to come on because the IRS just announced that January 24th, like in a couple of days, you're going to be able to file your 2021 taxes. But Eric, are you there?
I am here, Terry. Good afternoon, and glad to be with you. I don't know that I quite live up to the billing. I know that this is, and you and I have been on before, and I love being on with you. But this is for financial experts. Boy, that's not me.
Well, all I'm going to tell you is this is for real people, and I want to sandbag you with our first question.
All right.
I know you have a lot of information for us, and we'll give you a chance to do it. But on behalf of all of our listeners, many of whom post on my blog, I still haven't gotten my refund. Did they lose my return? What should I do? Should I file an amended return? What do I do when I file my 2021 return and I didn't get my 2020 refund? And I did file on time last year, and I did file electronically. How far behind are you still? And when will these people get their refunds from last year, before we go into this coming year?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, Terry. I can't tell you when everyone will get their refunds. But, you know, I know that our employees are working hard to make sure the job gets done. And nobody wants to serve people more, better, and faster than our people here at the IRS.
How many outstanding returns are there? Do you know offhand,
Eric? Right now, there's about 6 million returns.
6 million, still not returned.
Definitely more than we would like, you betcha.
Do the IRS employees work from home, or what happened to them? How did you get this far behind?
Well, we were very much impacted by COVID, but we made a lot of adjustments. A lot more people who work for us are now set up to work from home, and that's a good thing. Mostly we're not working in the office. We're working, there's some people at some of the processing centers that have to be in the office, but a great many employees are working from home. And so we've had to learn to do our jobs.
When do you think you're going to get through that 6 million? Eric, when do you think you're going to get through the 6 million?
I don't have a prediction, but I know that we're going to do our best to get the job done. And let me point out one thing, even in a good year, there can be as many as a million returns that are still outstanding at the end of the year for a variety of reasons. Some kind of issue with processing the return or some kind of back and forth that's going on. And, you know, a million is a lot too. It's not a percentage wise, it's not great many, because we get now over 160 million returns a year, but if it's your return, it's absolutely one too many, and the same goes for the 6 million. And so
Eric,
can I address your question?
Oh, sure.
Terry, on the 2020 versus 2021, don't send us another copy of the return. That's actually really one of the worst things you can do, because then our people have to take a look and see, is this a duplicate return? Is it really an amended return? Or is it even a fraudulent return? And so don't send it. As hard as it is for me to give you this advice, Terry, please don't send in their copy of the return.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. That's good advice. What else did you want to know, Terry?
So, Eric, now everybody knows what I get from the IRS. All of the people that are waiting are not people who had the 10,200, which you had to scrutinize because they filed before the unemployment was declared non-taxable under that level. Most of these people either filed a short form return. Some of them mailed it in. What do you, should anybody mail a return this year?
Well, there may be a few, but not too many. Very, very few. You know, certainly there are people who are victims of identity theft who may need to send in a paper return. There may be a few really rarely used forms that can't be filed electronically, but 90-some percent of all filers should be able to file electronically. And the number of electronically filed returns, thankfully, goes up every year. We continue to move in that direction.
It will now. One other thing, direct deposit. A lot of people don't understand how to, quote, set up direct deposit. Could you just give us the 1, 2, 3 on that?
Well, direct deposit, if you first of all, if you receive any other payments by direct deposit, it works the same way. You're going to need to provide the IRS with a bank routing number. I think it's sometimes called a transit number. And then you also need to going to need to provide an account number. And you can do that on an electronically filed return. The software programs have provision for that. There's going to be a place in the software program where you enter that information. If you're still filing on paper for whatever reason, there is also a place on the return where you can enter that information. And this has actually been true for probably over 25 years now.
Yeah, I think it intimidates a lot of people. I think that does intimidate a lot of people. There's one more thing you mentioned to me that we should get out. We know stimulus payments and even child tax credit payments are not taxable income. But the IRS is sending something out, right?
We're sending out a couple of letters, and they're really important letters, and people should keep them for their records and use them when they prepare their return, if they're doing it themselves. Sure, or if they take their information to a volunteer tax offsite, or if they use a paid preparer, doesn't matter. Any of those three options, make sure to save a copy of those letters. There are two different letters. One people are already getting, and that's for the child tax credit. People who are receiving the monthly payments for the child tax credit during the last half of 2021, you're going to get a letter saying how much you got. So you need to, the first thing you need to do is to check that against your own record.
But you don't do anything with that information, right? Like you're not going to, what's the purpose of that letter, I guess, is my question.
Think of it like a W-2. It's not unlike a W-2 or a 1099 or some other year-end statement. It's one of those pieces of information that you're going to need to file your return. Now, why are you going to need it to file your return? Well, the reason is because the child tax credit got a big expansion for tax year 2021. The payments that people got in advance during the year were designed to cover, in most cases, half of the credit that you're entitled to. The other half, you're going to claim when you file your return here for 2021. Now, some people may be getting more or less than half for other reasons. Yeah. For example,
so you may get more, Eric. So the point is that if you file this, if you know this number, is there a place to put it on your return so that you may be entitled to more stimulus left over that
more
child credit?
Yeah, whatever the case may be, there's going to be a schedule that you're going to be attaching. It's a Form 8812 or Schedule 8812. And again, it's built into the software programs. And if you file on paper, if you do it that way, there'll be a paper form that you'll attach. And you use that to make those computations of what additional credits you're going to get. In some cases, there are people who may not have been eligible for the credit, and they may actually have to repay some of it. And then there are situations where people, even if they have to repay some of it, there was protection built into the law so that almost a safe harbor, as you might look at it. And those are mostly low to moderate income tax filers who don't need to repay any of it, or sometimes only need to repay part of it. Anyway, that whole process for making that determination is also built into another part of that schedule. So the key is, if you have anything to do with the child tax credit, good, bad, or indifferent, you're going to be filling out the schedule. And hopefully, if you're doing it electronically, it's built into your software.
We're out of time. Eric Smith is a spokesperson for the IRS. And You just convey to your superiors on behalf of Terry and me and everybody that's listening right now how unsatisfactory that feels. I know that you aren't personally responsible for 6 million returns, but I trust you know and can convey how frustrating that is for our listeners, Eric.
And quite honestly, they're very aware of that, too, and they don't like it either.
Tell them again, okay?
Okay, all righty.
Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Eric.
I feel about that IRS spokesperson we just had, the way I do the spokesperson, say, from the Secretary of State's office in Illinois. They can be affable and friendly and even empathetic, but at the end of the day, that's not getting it done. And the texts include these. Kudos to Terry and John for taking this action and having this IRS representative on. This is unacceptable. He doesn't know when the refunds are going to go out. It's 2022, and people are still waiting for 2020 refunds. And worse yet, he's got no idea when it's going to be done. It's ridiculous. I'm a banker. This would be, he says, this is unacceptable in the private world. And one more, 630 says, how come if you owe money, they've got no problem finding people to work on that? Fair enough, Terry.
Absolutely. And I want you to know you're not alone. Just let me, I pulled up a press release I got 2 days ago from the American Institute of CPAs. And the headline is AICPA, the Association of CPAs, calls on IRS to do more, pushes for action on relief for taxpayers. They want them to suspend late payment penalties. I mean, the CPA Institute is going after the IRS. When they stand up, I mean, these are the people that are their bread and butter. Yeah. They don't want to aggravate them. This is really unconscionable.
Can I read you another text? 708
yes.
Said, hey, 9 months ago or so, Terry had a gentleman on who predicted the market would be at 34,000 by Cubs opening and 41,000 by the end of 2021. Actually, by the next meeting with you all, which is going to be when, Terry?
It'll tomorrow. You can go to executivesclub.org because we're virtual again. So I think you can still sign up for the luncheon, Executives Club. Maybe it's of Chicago, but I think it's executivesclub.org. Dr. Bob Frelick, who has been very bullish for the last 7 or 8 years, and of course, extraordinarily correct, last year in January, said, you know, every year he comes up with a cute thing so you'll remember the number. 1 year it was 33333 and so forth. Now this last year he said 401k. I said, what's that? He said 40,100.
Yeah.
So I'm setting up for this tomorrow. It will be a live virtual luncheon. And I've asked Dr. Bob if he will come in next Wednesday, if that works for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea. I said, please don't give me your forecast for this year. But I'm going to have to explain what happened. And he said, well, you know, remember last year in January, we got vaccines. I figured COVID would be over.
Yeah.
That was part of it. So let's hold his feet to the fire next week, if it's okay. And if you want to join us for the luncheon, executivesclub.org, it's noon tomorrow.
224 texted in to say eBay is now issuing 1099s for online sales. How is the IRS going to treat that? What do you know about that?
I want you to know that's what triggered my conversation with Eric Smith Monday morning, first thing when I said, let's have him on. It's so complicated, I decided not to bring that up in our short time.
Yeah.
But this is really weird. As part of the American Recovery Act, they, whoever they is, I said, do you know who put that in the bill? Decided that anybody who sells anything like on Etsy or eBay over $600 is going to get a 1099. Now think about what some people are selling. And grandma dies and you sell her, I don't know, her crystal, her china, and you don't know what the cost is. How on earth can you do that?
You're talking about the cost basis, right?
The cost basis, so they can determine if you have a taxable profit.
Yeah.
First of all, it does not apply to 2021. It applies to 2022. And if I could go on crusades, my first crusade was for unemployment in Illinois. I did my best. Believe me, I work behind the scenes. Then my crusade with the IRS has been ongoing about spouses who steal stimulus payments. They say the Treasury's in charge. Treasury says the IRS, and nobody wants to go after spouses. Very active cause for me. And this would be something I'd like to do proactively, which is to say, get rid of this idea. Nobody knows what the cost of what they sold on eBay is.
The cost to them when they acquired it or the value? Okay, but I'm going to say my cost for the $600 of china is $700.
Exactly. That's exactly what you're going to do.
And now I have no taxable consequences.
Of course.
And how are you going to prove that? I don't even know what the cost is.
How are they going to prove it? So I assume somebody will come to their senses when they get behind this year on all the basic stuff.
This is Lou. You're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. Hi, Lou. What can we do for you?
Hi, guys. Real quick, I was out of work for a year with COVID. I finally found a job last March in Indiana, in Highland and Lake County. First time I've ever worked out of state. I come to find out last week that Lake County imposes an income tax on Illinois residents that work there. My company neglected to deduct that out of my payroll checks.
Wow.
And when I confronted HR about it, they said, oops, we made a mistake. That being said, I'm not the only Illinois employee that works at this dealership. So I know the answer is probably going to be I'm liable for the taxes.
How much is it, do you know? What are we looking at here?
It's probably going to be somewhere in this area of $600.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to check with that. I would think that there ought to be an offset. I'm looking right now online.
Can county issue its own income tax like that? Can they do that?
Interesting. What if I work in a different state than employer taxes? If you earn income in one state while living in another, you should be expected to file a tax return in your resident state and also may be required to file a state tax return where you worked. And the question is, can they offset each other? I haven't had that question. I'll be happy to go search it out. Post it on my blog at terrysavage.com. You know, even foreign income taxes or people who live overseas, you get an offset for the taxes you paid in a foreign country. Why not in a foreign state? But I don't know the answer. I'll try and find it for you.
I'm putting you on hold, Lou. We'll get your contact information and we'll revisit this in a coming week. But before you pay that, let's do a little homework here. And Terry, a lot of ground covered today. We're out of time, but that's been very helpful. I appreciate your advocacy for our listeners.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. But tomorrow, executivesclub.org at noon. And next week, John, Bob Frelich.
Let's
Dr.
do that.
Bob.
Okay. I'm looking at Pete Zimmerman, our producer. He does all the work. I just sit here and yak. And Terry Savage can also be found at terrysavage.com. It's 12:44. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. And we've got more business news now. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A familiar provider of cable and internet service in the Chicago area is changing its name. RCN, which serves about 1 million homes in Chicago and the suburbs, is rebranding as Astound Broadband. New Jersey-based Astound is the sixth largest cable operator in the U.S., and the rebranding brings several of its companies, including Grande, Wave, and Digital West, under one new national banner. Astound recently completed the purchase of WOW, which will add another 75,000 customers in the western suburbs. WOW customers will transition to the Astound brand later this year. Art Institute of Chicago workers have voted to form a union. A majority of 266 eligible employees voted to affiliate with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Officials say this is the first time the museum's workers have affiliated with a union. It's also the first wall-to-wall union at a leading Chicago museum. The new Art Institute of Chicago Workers United will represent everyone from curators to mailroom staff. The Art Institute was founded in 1879. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Wait till you hear this. Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. Quite a story a couple of days ago, John, about the heart of a pig being transplanted to a Maryland man. Yeah, that made me think of the Big O. Many years ago, doctors implanted a heart valve from a pig in Orion's ticker. Are you there, Big O?
I'm here.
How's that pig valve working out for you?
Just fine. I don't even know it's in there.
You also got a valve from a cow, right?
Yeah. I didn't discriminate, so I got one of each.
That's good. Good to hear your voice, Big O, and continued good health to you.
Good to chat with you. Talk to you later.
Now, back to that heart transplant in Maryland.
We're living history right now.
That is Dr. Natish Siddig.
I'm the chief of the Division of Transplant at Northwestern University and the director of the Comprehensive Transplant Center at Northwestern.
He says there's still much to be done, but compared to where transplant technology was just a few years ago, science is miles ahead, and that's due mainly to being able to hit the edit button on our genes.
A lot of molecular technologies were in play CRISPR technology, which is gene editing technology.
And in the case of that pig heart, genes that would cause the body to reject it were deleted, and human genes that would help the body accept the heart were edited in. Dr. Siddig says it goes well beyond relying on drugs to avoid rejection and could open the door to a lot of people who need transplants.
If successful, what happens is we start to close the gap between the organs available and people in need of transplants, because that gap is continuing to grow.
Yeah, according to the federal government, 110,000 Americans are currently on the wait list for an organ transplant, and more than 6,000 people die each year before they are able to receive one.
Right now, it's a really exciting time in transplant.
Dr. Natish Siddig at Northwestern says groundbreaking work is being done on a lot of fronts, including at Northwestern, which collectively should result in medical developments we could only dream of until now. By the way, the transplant pigs are not the kind that make bacon. They are especially bred. From the farm to your belly, today is National Curried Chicken Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
But here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, we talk about businesses, and this is an innovative one. On a phone line is Sam Alex, who used to shadow me every now and then at WGN Radio and became a bit of a friend I would stay in touch with every now and then. Now he's in his mid-30s. He's a Hoffman Estates guy, and he has a unique business for, I guess, enterprising broadcasters. Hey, Sam, how are you today?
John Williams, I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
So tell us what you're doing these days.
Yeah, I don't think of it as a business. It's more like what you did to me, paying it forward. I've always loved in my TV and radio career having interns, and everyone in my family is a teacher. So one of the positive things of the negative thing of COVID several years ago, when I felt so bad, in-person summer camps were canceled, in-person internships all canceled, and just like, man, I would not be where I am in the world if it wasn't for all those opportunities. So that's why I thought of this idea for camp broadcast for mostly high school, college students, but really anyone who wants to maybe host their own podcast or YouTube channel or TV or radio show, their chance to actually interview celebrities and newsmakers and create a hosting reel as they apply for internships and jobs. And we were on Zoom the first couple of years, and we were in person last year here in Chicago. We're going to do it again this summer, and it's been so much fun just paying it forward.
You were, last I heard, doing something called Taste of Country Nights, which was a syndicated country music show. Is that right?
Correct, yes. Heard on over 100 stations based in Nashville. So that's where I lived for the past 7 years. And then 2 years ago, I kind of listened to a lot of my musician friends. And, you know, even though they're represented by big old record labels, they're their own boss. They're entrepreneurs. So they kind of had this idea saying, Sam, I mean, you're getting new affiliates on your own. Why not own your show rather than working for a different company? So I had a blast hosting that program for many years, nominated for Academy of Country Music Award, National Show of the Year, et cetera. But about 2 years ago, I decided to strike out on my own hosting the Sam Alex Show, which is just like that show. It's all country music, and interview the biggest names in Nashville, and recently moved back here to Chicago. So hosting the show remotely, but still going back to Music City often for red carpets and other award shows and stuff.
But then what's this camp broadcast thing then?
Yeah, so that's every summer, or I guess so when COVID first started, I did it on Zoom. So that was for basically I would run a master class where students would sign up, and then I would have a different celebrity guest every day who the campers. So I'm basically the founder and the director of this camp. So I would teach students how to interview celebrities. And the coolest thing is, in addition to a different newsmaker, celeb for the campers to interview, have someone who works full-time in the field to kind of be a guest mentor and critique them and give positive feedback and so on. Including last summer, we had your very own Andy Mazur in person, and Jordan Bernfield as well. And Dean Reynolds also came, veteran news correspondent. So I'm kind of just, I like to take a step back. So a lot of these guest, you know, teachers know way more than me. So it's been a blast learning from them as well.
Who are the celebrities that you give your campers access to that they can practice interviewing with?
We've had over 100, which is crazy. So Donovan McNabb, Super Bowl MVP quarterback, country singers, Cassidy Pope and Cole Swindell, and Luke Bryan and Jessica Vosk, who played Elphaba in Wicked on Broadway, recently was in town performing with the symphony. We've had Real Housewives.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Just kind of everything.
Well, I noticed that, and I was, to be honest with you, pretty amazed at the people that said, yeah, I will be the dummy interview, if you will, for these people that are learning how to do it, which is an invaluable opportunity, because when you finally get into the water and it's sink or swim, some of us are doing that for the very first time. Oh, that somebody would have given me a chance to try this before I was broadcasting or even podcasting. And that's what you're doing. So I think you found a niche there, my friend.
Thank you so much, John. And a lot of times these artists are getting more publicity than if they were on an actual red carpet from regular media folks like us. Because you think these students are sharing their interviews on social media and
well,
telling all their
go.
Friends?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so
and the coolest thing is that after the interview, the celebrity newsmaker gets to pull back the curtain and they tell us what they liked that the student did, or maybe what they can work on. So that's something we don't get to do in the real world, but that's been a great learning opportunity as well.
In the real world, the program director or a consultant will say, here's what you're doing wrong, and you will lose your mind when they tell you that stuff. So I like the fact that you're getting in front of this a little bit. So now you've got scholarships, if you will. You've got an opportunity. This is a fundraising concert at Pinstripes, right?
Yes, in South Barrington this Sunday, and we have what's called a writer's round or a guitar pool. So we have four musicians coming in from Nashville, all going to be on the same stage at the same time, on a stool, playing acoustic guitar, sharing stories about their hit songs they've written. So one of them is Ray Fulcher. He's written four number one songs for Luke Combs, and Ray also opened for Luke Combs this past summer, including two sold-out shows recently at the United Center, and also Adam Hambrick. He's written number one songs for Dan and Shay and Justin Moore, and Jake Hoot won The Voice, has a song right now with Kelly Clarkson, and Lainey Gardner has opened for the Jonas Brothers, totally viral on TikTok, so they're all coming in person. Tickets on sale at campbroadcast.com, and yeah, all the money raised goes to a scholarships for campers to attend Camp Broadcast this summer in Chicago.
Campbroadcast.com is where you find out more, right? That's where we should send people right now?
Correct. That is the place to go, and I just found out we have some School of Rock students and some local high school students are going to be the opening acts before these four big country stars as well, too.
Wow.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
What an opportunity for them and their mom and dad, who will be just bursting their buttons with pride. But that's really what a nice, fun opportunity to sort of help young people and give them a chance to sort of play in the big leagues. So good on you, Sam Alex. Campbroadcast.com, campbroadcast.com. Sam, stay well and stay in touch, okay?
Likewise. Thank you so much, John.
There you go. I knew he was driven. I knew he had ambition. I didn't know where it was going to go. What he has ended up doing wasn't invented when he went out to do it. So, boy, Sam.